One of the stories that went viral this week was about the Florida man who came upon an American kestrel that appeared tame. News accounts don't explain how he found it, but my guess is that the little falcon probably had a head injury from a collision. The man wanted to keep it as a pet, and when told he had to give it up because it was a protected species, he gave it a goodbye kiss, and the kestrel bit off a large chunk of his lip. That story highlights two unfortunate but basic human impulses: to possess and subdue wild creatures, and to interpret animal emotions based on their facial features. Falcons have large, dark eyes, rather similar to the eyes of our most successfully domesticated species, the dog. Dog faces may be endearing, but it isn't the darkness of their eye color that indicates their disposition. And the expectation that any falcon would want to kiss anyone, even its own mate, is rooted in ignorance. Falcon mates show their devotion not by preening each other's faces, but by forking over bird carcasses. To any reasonable falcon, someone sticking their face into yours would be a dangerous act of aggression, so naturally the kestrel defended himself. Reading any animal's emotions is tricky for our species. Whole books have been written about recognizing the body language of our pet dogs, and the whole reason we so successfully domesticated them in the first place was because they're so relatively easy to read. I posted a photo of a burrowing owl on Facebook this week, and lots of people commented about how angry it looked. The bird was standing with its mate at a burrow while we stayed in our van on a nearby road. These birds had to have been acclimated to traffic and people to select that nesting site in the first place. Of course, our presence may have annoyed or even angered them, but their facial expressions didn't provide evidence of that. Their expression was due to the fact that their skull protrudes a bit above the eyes to provide shade, superficially resembling the way a cartoonist draws a person's eyebrows together to portray anger. For being the species that includes rocket scientists and brain surgeons, it's strangely hard for many otherwise intelligent people to think through the reality that each species has an intelligence and an emotional range that encompasses its own unique spectrum based on unique requirements of its body structure and natural history. Protecting people from their own well-meant but uninformed impulses is half the reason we're prohibited from handling protected species without a license. Our misunderstandings about animals, even when well-meant, can lead to serious injuries for people. It may be both merciful and wise to rescue a great blue heron that was hit by a car or entangled in fishing tackle, but unless the people retrieving and then caring for it are properly trained and wearing proper protection, the heron is likely to jab, aiming straight for the eyes. Rescuing a loon stranded when ice closes in will only save the bird if the person can retrieve it safely. Without the right equipment and know-how in dealing with thin ice, it's likely that both the person and the loon will end up dead. When a sick bird or other wild animal is found, it's critical to be able to quickly and accurately diagnose the problem, both to ensure that the people handling it, along with their children and pets, don't also get sick, and to give the animal itself a significantly better chance than it would have had if they'd just left it alone. Even with all my years of experience as a licensed rehabber, I got sick in Costa Rica once after briefly handling a beautiful blue-gray tanager that had collided with a bus. In most cases, our lack of knowledge is even more likely to harm the animal than the person intervening. I'll talk about some of those cases next time. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.